You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in looking in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's our flagship network. Proud to be part of it. And, of course, preceding us is Russ Dizdar. A wonderful show, folks. Russ has got a great show. And then before that, of course, Ted Brower and Dave Hodges on Sunday, and my goodness, and subsequent to our show, a replay of Dr. Brower's show as well. So, I mean, there's just so much. So you never have to change your dial. It's just keep it right here. Never have to change your preferences on your computer. Just keep it right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Now, we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, of course. It's BTR, and you can watch us live and by archive on our YouTube channel, folks. Just go to HagmanandHagman.com. There you'll see all the navigation links, whether audio, video, whatever you'd like to, whatever your choice might be. Don't forget, we've got two different websites, HagmanandHagman.com and HagmanReport.com. The latter, of course, being for news, information, analysis, articles, things that you need to know in these perilous times. And I'm Doug Hagman, along with Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We do dig deep into topics, and we're going to be digging into some topics tonight. We're going to just touch on some headlines first, and then following that, InfoWars' Joe Biggs, who is actually on his way to Dallas to cover the rally there, will be joining us right through the top of the hour, or as close to that. And then subsequent to that, I'm going to have to leave, and then Joe is going to be with John Robertson and discussing issues of the day. So it's really going to be a great show. I really would urge everyone to tune in and stay tuned in. It's going to be a fabulous show tonight. A lot of great information. And you know, Joe, I was talking or I was looking at the different headlines today, and man, and Eric too. All the three of us here in studio right now, crazy stuff going on. But, you know, before we get into all of this, I just want to mention as well, next Tuesday, we're going to have really a first. I'm excited. I'm excited for this show. A first in our programming history. Next Tuesday we're going to have an in-studio guest.
Yeah.
The 21st. Now, think about that. In-studio guest. Jack Cashel, the author of a new book about TWA Flight 800. And if you haven't pre-ordered that, please do so. You can do that through WorldNet Daily, I believe, but it's on Amazon.com. The wow, you know, the I cannot say enough good about Jack Cashel as an investigative journalist, investigative reporter, and as an investigator. TWA Flight 800. Looking back, and again, this is going to be, this happened on July 17th, the takedown of TWA Flight 800, excuse me, happened on July 17th, 1996, which is 20 years ago, the next month. And this book is coming out, Jack's book is coming out on July 5th of 2016. So, very close to the 20th anniversary of this horrible event that that killed 230 people. And the third deadliest incident, aviation incident in U.S. territory.
That's horrible. Be a lot of fun. Again, Jack Cashel will be in studio with us next Tuesday.
Can't wait for it.
We have our guest for the first hour with us. He is a reporter for InfoWars. He is a veteran who served two tours in Afghanistan, one in Iraq. Mr. Joe Biggs.
A true patriot, by the way.
Yeah. Joe, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on. Folks, Joe Biggs is an InfoWars reporter. He's an investigative journalist, and as Joe said, a well-hardened veteran. Two tours in Afghanistan and one in Iraq. Joe, you're on your way right now to Dallas, is that right?
Yeah, we just got to Dallas about an hour and a half ago, and there are people pouring into the event. There's the largest police presence I've ever seen at any Trump event thus far. I spoke with one of the police officers, and they said what happened in San Jose will not happen here. And you can definitely tell they've locked this place up tight. Some protesters were able to kind of trick their way in, and they were quickly removed. So I do not see any type of large action happening, any kind of protest anywhere in front or around the event, although there is a protest is outside the fence walking around the building right now, but that they're further away and pushed back from all the people trying to get in.
Wow. All right. Well, Joe, we follow you on InfoWars. We follow your work. We follow you we pay
YouTube,
close
Facebook
attention.
Twitter,
we pay very close attention to what you're doing. Let me ask you, what's the general feeling, or what's your general feeling, as you are really at ground zero there in Dallas right now? What's your take on things there, and then things in general with respect to Trump and the protesters and the riots that I expect?
Well, I mean, this one by far so far is the calmest one, and that's just due to the large police presence that is here. Like I said, they're not going to take what happened in San Jose lightly. They're not going to want to have something like that happen here. So they've definitely done, a good job at keeping that back and not allowing these chaotic people to come in here and harass people that want to go in. But there's other events I've been to as well, across the country where the police just don't do anything. And it's almost like they stand down and allow these social justice warriors to literally attack people that are trying to come in and out of these events, and then say that they're hateful, that they're sexist, racist, misogynist, because they like Donald Trump. And that's just completely and totally ridiculous, because these people are not that way at all. They just want to be here. They want to hear a presidential candidate speak, and they should have that right to be able to do so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Joe, what's your take on the ability of the media to be able to spin the protesters disrupting the Trump event, assaulting supporters of Trump, to be able to spin that and blame Trump and his supporters for that violence?
Well, they spin it by calling them protesters when, in fact, what they are rioters. They're people that come out here. They intend to do harm. They have no love for the country. You never see one American flag in those crowds, but you see tons of foreign flags. You see Mexican flags, and you see people burning and desecrating the American flag, which to me is spitting in the face of the veterans, the people who love this country, who fought for this country, like myself, like my father, like my family. That's the most disrespectful thing I've ever seen, to see someone come out and burn the flag. Yeah, it's just a flag. Yeah, you have the freedom to do it. But at the same time, have some respect for people. You don't go and burn, trash talk someone who just died. I mean, you just do that out of respect. You leave those people alone. and you don't desecrate our flag, and you don't spit in the face of veterans. It's just completely, totally out of control.
Amen, brother. And I'm right there with you. Joe, do you expect, you know, I got like 1,000 questions. Joe and I were talking before the show. We've got so many questions for you. And again, just based on your, really based on your experience and you're at the tip of the spear, really. Where do you see things taking place here with respect to this election, 2016 election? I mean, I remember the 68 election. You know, I mean, is that going to pale in comparison to the riots, the protests back then? Are they going to pale in comparison to what we're about to see here?
I think it's going to get worse because of the fact that we have social media now. You know, everyone has the ability to go out and basically put news up and spin it in any kind of way possible. And now the mainstream media no longer does its job in any kind of way. Fox News completely neglects stuff. They call them protesters. They do this and that. And they don't call things what they are. You know, radical Islam is radical Islam. Violent rioters are violent rioters. And yet we want to put the label peaceful protesters on it. And these people, by calling them protesters, it gives them the free pass to continue doing what they do. They watch TV and they go, oh, we're just peaceful protesters, you know. They don't have any shame. And it continues to grow, and people see this and they go, well, I can go be a protester, and then I can go harass people. When in fact what they do, you know, like in Ferguson, for example, people burning down buildings, shooting at firefighters, at police officers, at reporters, cutting the fire hoses, that's not a protest. That is violence. That is terroristic in nature.
Amen. Amen to that.
And I think what's going to happen in DNC, or the RNC in Cleveland, the DNC in Philly, is really going to, you know, set a huge standard for how the rest of this year really pans out. You know, I think this is going to be one of the worst summers we've seen, you know, with these social justice warriors who are able to get away with whatever they want, and then we have a president who can't even call radical Islam. He calls the terror attack in Orlando hate/terror. So when you call it hate/terror, you take away from the fact that it is terror. You're saying that it could be something else. And what it is they do that because the FBI has failed to protect the people. The FBI's job is to sift these people out. And they got this guy, Omar Mateen, got past these guys numerous times. And then the gun owners at these stores called in and reported Omar Mateen when he came to buy body armor, weapons, numerous places, contacted the police and the FBI, and nothing was done. So we have a government, a president, a commander-in-chief who can't even do his responsibilities. He has no love for the American country. He seems to be a radical Islamic sympathizer to the highest extreme. And that's the scary thing. Things are going to get really worse before they ever begin to get better. And hopefully, Donald Trump could be the guy to help straighten things out. But at the same time, he does have a lot of big faults. But Hillary Clinton, we definitely can't take a chance with that.
No, you're absolutely right. And you said a lot of things that were very true that I don't know how many people have heard in our audience today. There has been news that have come out, you know, that Disney, this Omar Mateen was caught scouting Disney and had the authorities called on him then. A owner of a gun shop refused to sell him guns because of his mannerisms and odd behavior, and then contacted the authorities. He was already on the FBI's radar, had been interviewed by the FBI 2 or 3 times prior to this attack, yet he slips through their fingers. And you know, they want to come out and blame the guns, even blame Christians and Republicans for this. But, you know, too often they talk about what could we have done to prevent this. Well, everything that should have been done was done to prevent this, except the authorities taking a stand and doing their jobs.
That's right.
I mean, liberal logic is this. You could have a liberal ride a bicycle down the road. They could shove a spoke, a wooden stick into their, you know, the wheel, and they fall down and blame it on guns. That's what liberals do. You know, and everyone keeps going, oh, my God, how could Omar Mateen, who had been investigated and looked at by the FBI, go out and buy guns? Well, it's the same reason that we have a presidential candidate in Hillary Clinton that can run for a president while being investigated by the FBI. So there's a large thing going on here. There's a huge problem.
Yeah, indeed there is. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. You know, Joe, I know our time is with you is limited because of your schedule. And, folks, please follow Joe Biggs on Facebook and also InfoWars.com. Alex Jones, Joe Biggs, and of course the entire staff at InfoWars, great friends of ours. We certainly respect their work. But Joe, let me ask you, your thoughts about what happened in Orlando. I mean, is everything, where do you even start there? Where do you start there? What do you see? What are your thoughts about Orlando?
Well, my thoughts were initially, it's kind of hard for one guy to come in here and carry out this attack alone. Now, were there multiple shooters inside? I don't know. You know, but someone had to have helped him. And we know now that the wife initially lied to the FBI, said she had no prior knowledge to his involvement, Omar Mateen's involvement and or planning of that event. And now it's come out that she knew that he was going to carry this attack out, that she drove him to Disney. She drove him to the Pulse nightclub. She drove him to buy the ammunition. So she was a part of it. But on the ground, I was able to speak to survivors, people who were inside the club that were left unscathed, who weren't injured, that got out, and then some friends of guys who were inside that were in the hospital, and they all thought that there were multiple shooters. So, you know, that's the word. But then now there's other reports as well of saying that the fact that the police had been kind of firing wildly into the building as well in hopes of getting this terrorist. You know, they didn't know it was a terrorist at the time, but they were shooting rounds. And then it's a possibility that some of these police rounds could have hit some of the people inside the nightclub as well, which is another problem. You know, so, you know.
Heard that too.
Talking to these people and, you know, hearing firsthand accounts is kind of, there's some sketchy stuff, but I mean, it definitely happened. People are injured. People are hurt. People's lives are changed forever. You know, but less guns is not going to solve the problem. You know,
we saw
what happened in Boston. They didn't have guns. They used bombs. You know, you take guns away, then what happened? And they're going to find something else. Then you're going to get more of what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan. You're going to have people, they're going to make, you know, roadside bombs, IEDs, things like that. So the guns aren't the issue. There's crazy people in this world that want to do harm to us because we are America. We have freedoms. They hate what we stand for. And at the end of the day, they want to take us out.
Wow.
That's right. I mean, just look at what's happened in the UK today.
One of their parliamentarians stabbed.
And shot.
Yeah.
And this is a gun-free country.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it actually, they're delaying the Bear Exit vote now after Jo Cox is her name. She is the Labour MP, dies after being shot and stabbed outside the library. And they're saying, and this might only be speculation at the time, but that they are going to temporarily put off the Bear Exit vote due to this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what terrorism does. Terrorism is meant to stop things. Terrorism is meant to scare people. You know, I was in Paris just 24 hours after the attack, and Paris, which is usually a very vibrant area full of culture, full of passion, was pretty dead. People were scared to go out. No one wanted to go out. There was no nightlife. Everything closed down. And that's what these terrorists want. They want to stop what it is we do. They want to stop us from having fun because they don't agree with it. They want to stop people. And they say it's not about religion, but when the guy calls in to 911 beforehand and saying that he's pledging allegiance to al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, that he's doing it in the name of Allah, yeah, that's kind of a religious thing, you know? And the fact that the left keeps saying, no, we have to be progressive, we have to be accepting, we have to be tolerant. Well, guess who's not tolerant? The same people they're protecting, radical Islam. The same people who throw homosexuals off bridges. The same ones in Saudi Arabia who behead them. The same ones that make their women slaves, in a sense, cover their bodies. They're not allowed to go out and have jobs. They can't go do things. You know, this isn't a tolerant group of people, and it's completely and totally psychotic that the left can sit there and go, well, I think that's okay, let's protect them. No, we're at war with radical Islam, and that's what we need to do. We need to treat it as such.
And that's, to me, just from my point of view, to hear Donald Trump talk about the problem, you know, Obama can't or won't, I shouldn't say can't, will not use radical Islam terrorism in the same sentence. And you know, we go back to 2008, Joe, when we were, and others, yourself, InfoWars, we were looking at Obama's lineage, heritage, you know, where he came from, of course. And, arguably, it was never a distraction. It was really the point is as to his, eligibility. Help me out here, Joe. I'm kind of drifting, but, you know, it's all of this. It seems like we're kind of leading to some sort of series of events or some of event horizon that Obama really has facilitated, accelerated, and now Donald Trump comes on the scene. And of course, where you're at now, Channel 5 News down there, they're reporting that you know, hey, Dallas police is really they've got this they've got the area on lockdown right now ahead of the rally. So, I mean, it's just.
You know,
so much going on.
2008, yeah, back in 2008, what you're talking about when Obama was elected, I was in Afghanistan. And, you know, a lot of people don't know about this, but a lot of soldiers, a lot of us are wide awake. A lot of us knew the history of Obama. We knew where this guy came from. And American soldiers in combat turned their flags upside down on their uniforms. And Afghanis and people would walk over and go, you know, why is that on your shoulder like that? Your flag's upside down. And everyone would go, our country is going to be in distress. This is the first step in the decline of what America is, what it stands for, what it represents, true freedoms, true liberty.
Man. I heard some rumblings about the military during the 08 elections, but I thought it was just partisan loyalty to Bush, and you know, but you're saying it was more than that. There was a general feeling of we're in trouble, huh?
Yeah, I mean, most of the soldiers I know, I'd have to say it's about 50-50. You know, I'm not a fan of Bush, and I know a lot of the guys that I was with over there were not fans of Bush. I mean, when we were in Afghanistan, we would watch Loose Change. You know, we would watch these documentaries and try to kind of have an open mind as to what's going on around us, not just situational awareness in combat, but situational awareness in the world, our government, what these leaders are trying to do, and look at it from behind the curtain to make a really well, educated, you know, thought process as to what's going to be happening in the near future. You know, and a lot of us were really kind of sad and we were worried when this whole thing happened, and we've been proven right time and time again. And instead, we've got so many people in America right now that are just blinded by, you know, horrible media coverage that completely praised this man. I mean, how do you get the Peace Prize and you've droned a more innocent civilians? I mean, I don't know how this guy gets praised so much. I mean, yeah, Bush was bad, but I don't have to deal with Bush right now. I have to worry about Obama, and then
right.
We have to worry about Hillary Clinton. And as I'm talking right now, there's about 10 cops on horses coming in through a fence. There's another 6 behind me. Armored vehicles now and tons of police in the area as more people begin to show up.
Okay, so how close are you to the actual area where...
I'm at the very front door.
Okay, all right, all right.
So they have they have a large police presence at the very front door, and I would say 50 yards in any direction they've pushed out barricades. They have news crews trucks parked in front of it so no one can get by. They have police vehicles. There's probably upwards of 40 police vehicles inside this gated area to allow the protesters to come in without being harassed by, or allow the Trump supporters to come in without being harassed by protesters, so to say.
Gotcha.
Now, you've covered a number of these events and other different protests and civil unrest situations. And you've seen the progression from the crowds, and it looks like Texas has their stuff together. We've heard stories about the RNC in Cleveland, you know, getting $30 million, $50 million grants from the Department of Homeland Security for riot gear in anticipation of trouble at the RNC. Do you think that it's a state issue when it comes to protecting the Trump supporters and his ability to give a speech? Or is this an organization with the government, the RNC? Or do you expect to see this in other states? Because as my dad said earlier, we see the previous protests where it's, you know, a free-for-all. The security is not doing their job. And, you know, we were thinking about going to cover the RNC ourselves. And, you know, we know that's going to be just a huge powder keg. But are these in, these protesters intensifying in numbers and in their actions?
I mean, yeah. I mean, they're completely being brainwashed. And at the same time, they're being empowered by, you know, media outlets like MSNBC and CNN to come out and do these things. I mean, they almost praise them as heroes for this new progressive America, this extreme left-wing society that they want. You know, but what's going to happen at the RNC is going to be really big, because even in Austin alone, the Austin PD is sending 89 officers to the RNC in Cleveland. That's just from one police department. That's in Texas they're sending to Cleveland. There's multiple other cities and states that will be sending a large number of officers to go out there. These guys have been training for riot control. They've been gearing up. They've bought tons of ammunition. They bought tons of body armor, riot gear. And, you know, it's almost like they're inciting it by doing that. You know, when you say that you're doing this, people, these crazy ones that believe that, you know, everybody, that Trump's going to, like, kick out every single migrant and we're going to stop immigration completely because they're uneducated. The fact is, we want to stop the process for a minute. We want to figure out a better way to vet people coming in. And the fact that people hear that, that there's, they just hear Trump's words that we're going to put a wall up and we're going to ban Muslims. But they don't think about, all right, what happened in Paris? What happened in San Bernardino? What happened in Orlando? Maybe we should stop this for a minute. Maybe we should take a step back, because even the FBI said we cannot properly vet all these Syrian refugees. And since Orlando, 847 Syrian refugees have already been brought into our country. This is, it almost seems like it's being orchestrated, like they want this. They want people to come in, they want chaos, and they want to move closer to a police state, because what I'm seeing right now here in Dallas is a police state. This place is like the Pope is here. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. There's police towers in the parking lot. People are being searched. I mean, vehicles everywhere. And cameras on every vehicle. I mean, it's insane.
Joe, have you had some close calls in your coverage of this election cycle, these events? I know that you've been at the epicenter of so many of the terrorist events, or the terrorist acts of terrorism, as you mentioned, you know, Paris and such, Orlando. But with respect to the election, have you had some close calls there?
At the rallies, no, not really, because a lot of these people that don't like us still watch InfoWars. They know who I am. A lot of them will tend to kind of stay away from me. But, you know, in Ferguson, you know, there was a few times that I had some close calls, you know. Ferguson was intense. But, you know, just because it's not going to happen to me, there's a lot of people that come to these events know. And it's empowering people that are pro-Trump supporters to come out to these events and hold their heads high when they know there's a good chance that they could get attacked, spit on, have eggs thrown at them, belittled by these crazy leftists.
Exactly. Exactly.
Joe, if I can get your take on a trend that we're seeing increasing in the social media world, the censorship through social media. We see the progression of how ISIS and other organizations have been able to use Twitter and Facebook to coordinate, network, and spread their messages. But on the, we're seeing things like women for Trump being censored from Facebook. You know, gays for Trump being censored from Twitter. But these, you know, terror groups are allowed to continue to post without, you know, being interrupted by these companies. How far do you see this social media censorship going, you know, full blown to basically what we are talking about right now becoming hate speech?
Yeah, I mean, as, you know, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg has already come out and said that within 24 hours they're going to start shutting down accounts and posts that they believe to be offensive. You know, sorry if you find something offensive, but it's my freedom of speech. Now, you know, if I go off and I go on some, you know, bad rant, do I look bad afterwards? Yes, but do I have the right to do it? Of course. But, I mean, people need to use good judgment in what they say and how they do things, you know, on a professional level, but still, people have the ability to say stuff. You know, for example, yesterday, Milo Yiannopoulos, he is a homosexual white man who dates black men. He's a writer for Breitbart. And his Twitter account was shut down because he put something out about radical Islam. Twitter censored him, shut him down, took all of his followers away, and made him start over again. Now, is it that big of a deal? No, it's Twitter. But at the same time, it's an attack on free speech. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's no big deal. Well, it is a really big deal when you think about it, because if the government's going to start doing that, because the government has their hands in places like Facebook and Twitter, you know, things, that's ridiculous. That's going too far. We do not need to lose our freedom of speech. And then we also have the Second Amendment to protect that as well.
Yeah, exactly. And we see this massive change, this clampdown on the independent media and free thought, of course. This stuff would make George Orwell blush by comparison. We must have, I don't know, 30 or 40 emails here since our conversation first began here, wanting to know, and this is a question we often ask our guests. Joe, let me ask you this, based on these emails that we're getting. Joe, what keeps Joe Biggs up at night? You're in the field, you're a reporter, you're a damn good one. What keeps you awake at night with respect to, you know, what could happen?
What really bothers me the most, and what I'll tell you what bothers me, and I'll tell you what motivates me. What bothers me is the fact that we have a lack of leadership in the White House, a lack of leadership that bleeds over into these different departments of like Homeland Security, the FBI. When we have a president that literally can't call radical Islam. You know, it's just like with smaller police stations. One corrupt officer can spread like wildfire through that and corrupt the entire thing, and that's what's happened with Barack Obama. He's completely corrupted this government, and they are allowing all of this horrible stuff to happen, and it empowers all these other people. And that's what bothers me, is when we have a country, a strong country, that is being demonized from within by our leadership. It empowers ISIS. It empowers the Taliban. It empowers our enemies around the world that hate us because of our freedom. And then we have these attacks happen. We see a president who is telling Border Patrol to stand down, to allow these immigrants to come across because they're just kids. Well, I've been to the border. 9 times out of 10, they're adult males with gang tattoos on them. And there's large numbers of them. There's smaller numbers of women and children that are coming across, but they don't report on that. They just want to show you the one or two buses here and there that have like a group of kids on it, and they want to say that that's what everybody is that's coming across. That's what keeps me awake at night, is that I have a president right now that could care less about my freedoms, about me, about a veteran, that I can't even get proper health care from the VA, that we have a huge number of homeless veterans, that we have 22 veterans a day that commit suicide. Why? Because they feel like they're left alone. And now the American people are starting to feel like they're left alone. And the enemy sees that we are weak, and that's why they are striking. That is what bothers me.
Well said. All right. And I'm bothered with this as well. We have a number of people wanting to ask you whether you believe, will Trump, although he's a presumptive nominee, in your estimation, based on what you've seen on the ground, will Trump be the actual Republican nominee based on your investigative research and your observations?
You know, from what I've seen, I mean, we got to look at the numbers. Hillary Clinton has less votes than she did back in 08. Trump basically has the most votes out of any GOP nominee ever. You know, I've gone to Hillary Clinton events. I've gone to Bernie Sanders events. Hardly anyone shows up. Yeah, Bernie's had some big ones out there, a couple 22,000 ones. But Trump, on a daily basis, packs out events. So I think he has the best chance. I don't think anybody else could have beat Hillary Clinton. I don't think Ted Cruz could have done it. I know Donald can do it. Now, here's the thing, though, is there going to be trickery involved at the RNC? Well, these talking heads, will Paul Ryan pull something? Because no one's fully getting behind him, so it still leaves it up in the air. Will they try something? Will they try to bring someone else in? Or will there be such a large terrorist attack that happens that Obama, you know, tries to come in and goes, you know what, I should stay a fourth year, because another term, because
right.
Joked about that before in the past. That's another scary thing. What's going to happen? Because they're pushing this RNC and this DNC to be some of the most violent protests we've seen.
Exactly.
And quite frankly,
yeah.
That's another scary thing. By the numbers, Trump has it, no problem.
Okay, well, yeah, by those numbers. Now, that's probably the second most popular question today. Do you think it's possible, Joe, again, based on your investigative analysis and being, you know, at the epicenter of so much of all of this, do you think perhaps that this is in the plans and the works that Obama could just, you know, camp out for another year? Or for how, you know, declare a state of emergency and use the police powers to just stay in office until, well, you know, for however long. But I think you answered that.
I mean, there's definitely a good possibility. I mean, when you look at everything, when you take a step back and look at the entire picture of what's been happening, the culmination of the last 8 years, what it's leading up to now, this pivotal point in our country's, you know, history, it's a possibility. I mean, this guy is joking around. Like I said, he's praised, you know, he's given the Nobel Peace Prize, that he goes around and drones, you know, Yemen and hardly ever hits a high-value target. He hits more civilian people, and there's high rates of casualties in those populations from civilians, and yet he is still praised. It seems like there's nothing he can do wrong within the government, within the powers to be, the global elite.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Now, we've got so many people. I just want to make sure that we say again, thank you for your military service, and thank you for what you are doing today to get the truth out there as an independent journalist. Thank you. Our audience is just flooding us with emails, and so I want to make sure I want to thank you publicly for everything you do, and we feel the same way about that as well. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, if we could. We got.
My son, sorry.
About 17 minutes before the top of the hour break.
And he's going to run.
Yeah, and we know you got to get going as the event's going to be starting.
I'm good right now.
The Democratic nomination with Hillary Clinton getting the nomination, the first woman to be nominated for president and to win the nomination. We see a lot of numbers being put out there, polls saying, you know, Trump's trailing, you know, 10, 11 points nationally versus Hillary, which I don't think any of us really trust in polls. And we know that he had brought out the most Republican vote in history, I think, over 1.4 million more than Reagan did in 1980. I know you brought this up earlier, do you see a chance for Donald Trump to actually become the president? And I'm going to tie this into, we're hearing a lot in the world of economics, the selling of foreign, U.S. treasuries by foreign nations is at an all-time high, or at a high since 1978, and it's, increasing, each day. And a lot of people have talked about the possibility for, you know, the president, or the renegade in chief, to do something as far as tearing up the economy on his way out. Do you see a reason for them to put Trump in here in order to bring the whole thing down under a Republican, you know, patriotic man, rather than have it break down under a Democrat like Obama or Clinton?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, you know, Pennsylvania had 45,000 Democrats switch over to Republican to vote for Trump. Massachusetts had 20-something thousand switch over from Democrat to Republican to vote for Trump. And that's been happening in a lot of states. I've been, like, California. I was just in California. A lot of Democrat Californians switched over to Republican to vote for Donald Trump. People are showing up for this man in mass numbers. You know, I just don't understand. You know, Obama is bringing the country down. Now, maybe they are going to play a card where they would rather start a collapse and then let it crumble under Trump, and then they can blame it on the Republican Party and say, see, guess what, you know, but they've already started it. They lit the fuse, and they already have charges on this building to drop it down in a controlled debt, you know, scenario. You know, America's going to fall. Every great empire falls, and it's happening because of the horrible leadership we have. You know, they might just set it up, like you said, by under Obama, he could try and wreck the economy on the way out, and then Trump comes in, and then they're going to sit back to the American people every day on the mainstream media and go, see, Trump did this, Trump did this. And instead, they're not going to go, look, who lit the fire, who set the fuse.
That's right. And we, I mean, we looked at this under, or from the transition from Bush to Obama, and now it just seems to be more of a, of an issue today, despite the lack of, well, I mean, we know what happened in 08, but it seems a lot worse today. On a different note, many people want to know your assessment. Gun control legislation or some sort of executive fiat or something with respect to gun control. You see this taking place now in the wake of the Orlando event?
You know, I heard that the assault weapons ban was shot down by, was it Mitch McConnell today or something like that? I saw that they put a halt to that right now. You know, the left's going to keep doing what they keep doing, and it's
right.
Not going to go far because they keep trying time and time again. And we're at a point now, a pivotal point, where Americans are finally seeing behind the curtain. Donald Trump pulled the curtain back on a lot of these issues, you know, and like I said, he might not be the perfect candidate, but he's the best one we've got right now, you know. And he's really exposed a lot of things that are going on as far as how the voting system works and the fact that veterans need to be taken care of and how the Second Amendment is part of our, you know, it's a God-given right. It's part of being an American, you know, and the left keeps trying to blame everything on guns. You know, it's the fact that people there weren't armed, the fact that there wasn't armed security around, that happened.
Right.
You know, you don't see terrorists go into a gun store or the NRA show or SHOT Show where there's hundreds of thousands of guns and 60,000 people that are armed. Why? Because it's a hard target. You know, gun-free zones are kill zones. Terrorists go after the weakest things. Why? Because they are cowards. They do not have the training of the U.S. Army, the U.S. Marine Corps. They are weak. Marines, soldiers go after hard enemy targets and take it on head first, run into the enemy fire, knowing that they can die. They know that they're going up against an enemy that has weapons, and they do it selflessly because they believe in America. These guys do it in the cover of the night. They do it in an area where there are no guns because they are weak individuals, and that is the truth. People need to understand that an armed populace is a safer place for people to be. When you look at what happened in Paris, and you look at what happened in all these different areas, these different shootings, it always happens in an area where someone did not have guns. The fact that our recruiters, our military recruiters, can't even be in one of their own buildings with a gun to protect themselves. And what happened in Chattanooga? People died. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. It's insane that our military not armed on bases.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've seen this, Mr. Biggs, but there's a movement, you know, gays for guns, and there's a few gun shops that were giving out concealed carry lessons for free to the LGBT community. Do you see any at the rally, at the event you're at today, do you see any signs of like that, where you see the LGBT community coming out to support, you know, the being able to purchase guns, fighting the gun control narrative?
I mean, I've seen it all over the country. When I went to Spokane, Washington, at the protest against Sheriff Ozzie Nezevich, the guy who became famous after one of his officers said that they have MRAPs because of constitutionalists. You know, there were a lot of homosexual men who came out with Gadsden flags that were in the rainbow color that were gay that said, hey, we're gay, but guess what? We want freedom. We want guns. We want to protect ourselves. You know, Milo went to Orlando yesterday and gave a speech and said, if you take guns away, people can't protect themselves. We even have people like Howard Stern, who was as liberal as they come, saying, hey, if these guys would have had guns, they would have had a fighting chance. I think most people who are in their right mind, and not just right as in, you know, where we stand politically, but in your right mind, understand that when you don't have a gun, you're a victim, because that is the great equalizer. And there's everyone. It doesn't matter if you're what sexual orientation you are, what color you are, what religion you are. Anyone who has the ability to sit back and put their emotions aside and not be brainwashed, not watch TV every day, and make an actual educated decision, know that the Second Amendment is the greatest thing that we have in America. The Second Amendment protects every other freedom we have, and that's why we have to have it.
Indeed, that is the case. It's without any argument at all. So many people want to know, and I want to get this out of the way right now, again, because I don't know what kind of time constraints you have, but many people want to know how to, number one, follow you in general. You've got a Facebook page, and certainly give that out, but how to follow you this evening. Are you going to be reporting at 8 o'clock? Eastern
oh, I'm
going to
be out here all night. I've been posting pictures and videos. You can, all the videos I post on my personal Facebook page, which is just Joe Biggs. Then okay. I have a work page. It's like a fan page or whatever Facebook likes to call it. I don't like to call it that. I just like to call it my business page because I'm not in this for fans. I'm not in it for anything like that. So it's a work page. It says Joe Biggs InfoWars Reporter. And then on Twitter, you can go to @RamboBiggs, RamboBiggs. And I'm constantly updating stuff. You can go to the Alex Jones channel on YouTube and see my videos there as well. But I use my personal Twitter, my Facebook to post little videos and pictures as things happen. If I see scuffles, if I see an interesting protest sign, or I get into a confrontation with someone, I will put that stuff on there. So feel free. Anybody can follow me, ask me questions. I'm up all the time. I very rarely sleep because I'm always on the road. I spent maybe 3 months at home my first year at InfoWars, and I've only been home about 20 hours in the last 2 months, you know, so I'm always going. So,
man,
you know, don't ever be afraid to chit-chat me up and ask a question.
That's incredible. We thought we had tough schedules, but we're not on the road like you are.
We used to do private investigation work in New York City, and we'd be gone for a week, home for a week, gone for a week, home for a week. But that's you're in a whole other arena there.
Yeah. Man.
You know, but I mean, it's like, do you really care about America? Do you really care about what's going on, or do you not, you know? I've got a great opportunity. I've been truly blessed to have this opportunity to have a large audience and to talk about things I care about and to share it with people all around the world, to promote liberty and freedom, to promote what it is that Americans should be. The fact that, you know, we have an American culture. The American man is dying. We have guys now that are just like, they wear tight jeans all the time, and they don't even know how to go out and hunt. You know, their idea of going on a hunting trip is going to the grocery store, to the meat aisle, and picking up some pre-cut steaks. You know, I go out every weekend. Like, I came in from Orlando the other night. I had 10 hours before I had to come on this trip. And I went straight out in the woods. I went hunting. I came back, took a shower, and now I'm here. You know? You can't forget where you come from. You can't forget what it means to have that freedom to go out, get organic food, have organic milk, to eat good foods, to stop eating bad GMO food, stop poisoning your body. That's part of the freedom that we have.
It's well said.
I think America's the greatest country in the world, and I will die fighting for it in any way I can. You know, I put my life on the line in the military, and I have no problem doing it now. If someone were to shoot me while I was out here doing one of these things, you know what? I would die a happy man, because I know that what I've been doing is everything to me. You know, the fact that my family is proud, the fact that when I meet people, I can see that they're excited, to see someone out there doing that, that makes me continue to go. That motivates me, and it gives me goosebumps. I love it.
Amen.
Yeah, it's something else, and you know, we've been blessed with the platform we've been given, and you know, we're definitely not worthy, but we show up every day and try to do the best that we can, and not only have we been blessed with this platform, but the listeners are just such fantastic people, and it's time that we, people like you, people like us, and many others out there in the alternative media, step up and do what the media won't do. And we see the vacuum by the mainstream media of power, of influence. They are losing their ability to influence. It is slow going, and you know, there are still many who are stuck in the brainwashed mental paradigm, but there are so many that have been helped by people like you and through InfoWars and many others, and we got to keep fighting the fight and keep hope alive, and that's all we can do. And you know, if we're doing that, we're fulfilling our purpose, not only as citizens of America, but what God commanded us to do, which is occupy till he returns. And
yep. Amen. And Joe, we only have a few minutes left here. We're going to give you the floor. Whatever's on your heart, you know, you're used to speaking to a worldwide audience. I know we've got some crossover, audience crossover, but for those who have not heard you, I mean, feel free to take the last couple of minutes here and speak whatever is on your heart. Joe Biggs from InfoWars, Joe Biggs, journalist, Joe Biggs, a veteran. Feel free to speak what's on your heart right now.
Well, you know, what's really on my heart is, you know, the radical Islam. Does that mean that I hate Muslims? No. I know people who are Muslim. You know, I've got friends that I made over in Afghanistan that were interpreters. But there is radical Islam. I want people to understand. I've been over there. I've seen them chop off, you know, enemies' heads. I've seen them torture people just as bad. I've seen them do some horrific things. And what people need to understand is the government is allowing these open borders to happen, and ISIS is using that immigration influx as a beard to come in under the guise of, you know, of being these, you know, war-torn, battered, helpless immigrants who just want to come find a place to live when they have zero allegiance to America. You know, I have friends who fought, some who died trying to get their citizenship, Mexicans, Hispanics, Latinos, people from different parts of the Latino world that joined, they came to America, and they knew that they loved America more than anything. And they showed their allegiance. They joined the military, and they said, you know what, I believe in America so much, I'm going to fight for it. And we need more Americans that believe in it to stand up and fight for those rights. See, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to go off and join the military, but if you really believe in what America is, I want to see people stand up for that. I'm tired. You know, I hate watching videos where I see someone who's got good intentions, you know, get destroyed by some left-wing guy who's spouting out mainstream media, MSNBC, BS. You know, people need to understand their rights. They need to exercise those rights, and you need to be a beacon to others. People should see America in the mirror when they see you. People should understand what freedom is. People should be proud when they represent our country, because so many amazing men and women have fought and died for what this country is, and we just cannot let it be taken over by a government that just doesn't care. We shouldn't let it get taken over by radical Islam. We shouldn't be taken over by fear. We should be hardened. We should be proud to be American, and we should stand up for everything, no matter what. In the face of, you know, possible death, people should look that in the right in the eye and say, you know what, I'm proud to be an American. I have no problem with that, and I'm here, I'm standing up, and this is what I'm doing. This is my fight. This is my stand.
Amen.
Well said. Joe Biggs from InfoWars, and you know, you guys do such a great job. Joe, you do a great job. Alex and his staff and all you folks do such a fantastic job. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for bringing the truth out there when no one else will or few will. And know that you have our support. We're on your side, and we really appreciate everything that you really that you do. And thanks for putting yourself on the front lines. And
can't wait to have you back on.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate the offer to come on and talk to you guys. You guys do amazing stuff as well. Keep it up. And everyone that's out there listening, I mean, if you take anything away from this, don't let these people bully you. Don't let these people push you. Know you're right. Stand up for it. Be proud. And keep up the good fight.
Absolutely.
Amen. That's right, brother.
This is Joe Biggs, InfoWars reporter, covering the Trump event in Dallas.
You stay right safe out there, man.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thank you.
God bless you. Have a great night. Joe Biggs, what an intrepid reporter, and you know, he's covered so many. You heard him talk, Joe, about being in Paris and Orlando and now Dallas. I mean, look,
he covered Ferguson. Yeah. I mean, he's been covering a lot of the very important, you know, unrest, cultural division, and terrible incidents that we've seen, from police violence to terrorist incidents.
Yeah, he really has. I'll do that later or after.
Okay. Coming up in
the next
2 hours, we have our Hollywood insider, John Robertson, although he's not a Hollywood insider anymore.
Yeah.
He has started a new radio show he's hosting. He's working on a book, and me and John are going to be talking about a number of current events and looking at it from a biblical aspect as well as from a political, geopolitical aspect, and we're going to be running the gamut of issues. So if anybody has anything they want us to talk about, send us an email and we'll try to get into it. But again, John Robertson is going to be coming on, joining us at the top of the hour after the break.
Tomorrow is going to be John McTiernan.
John McTiernan, yeah.
Which is going to be a fantastic show.
Yeah, John McTiernan, he's a great guy. He's got, well, when we come back from the break, we'll get into that. But he's written some interesting stuff on this Orlando shooting and on the culture and what believers should be doing. And he really, for people who are in the fluffy, puffy churches, as Pastor Paul would say, you'll get your eyes open by reading some of John McTiernan stuff. Folks, we'll be right back after this with John Robertson. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.